CliffCentral.com.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I did not recognize the song in the beginning when you started playing it. And when you said it, you legit thought it was a Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
I was looking at you funny until it got to that I always feel like somebody's watching me part. And I was like, oh, it's this song.
Yes.
And yes, it's very much Michael Jackson-esque.
like you just know you're amazing when people try to sound just like you and write songs just like you.
Yeah.
Okay, further on in the show, we'll try to find what else Rock will try to create. Let's just say hopes must not be high. Right, so from One Hit Wonders, happy Friday to you. If you've got any other One Hit Wonders that you think we should be playing that are interesting, and the part of this whole thing is that we've all heard One Hit Wonders. It's what they also tried to do. That's what we're going to try to play. Now, I had a whole list of people, right? So like I told you, I went through this whole VH1 Top 100 One Hit Wonders. Wow, okay, the 80s was interesting because there were loads of one-hit wonders. But then you think, like, nowadays, there are so many one-hit wonders, but because music is so, I don't know, what's the word, disposable nowadays, people aren't even being called one-hit wonders anymore.
Sure, so what are they called if you have just one hit?
Think about it, right? Like, we hear songs all the time that it just glazes over, and we don't even care about who they are. I mean,
yeah.
We came in the studio this morning. I heard probably one of the worst songs of my entire life. This.
Even in the back to turn the fuck up, you know what I'm saying?
It's one of those horrible cliched rap songs like, here are my cars, I got money, I got bitches, blah, 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 blah.
I think it's disrespectful to call this rap, number one.
It is. See, this is what Suge Knight should be doing right now. He should be killing all these people who are ruining rap. Listen to this.
But you know what, Ben? We might be wrong. Like, is this even rap or is it trap? Because, you know, these days, there are all these new genres as well, Ben.
Can you imagine if... Okay, just listen to the backing track alone, okay? Just listen to this. If somebody had to throw that mixtape to any of the decent rappers that we always hop on about, they would throw this thing back at you and say, what the hell is this? Boom, boom.
I get that this is, I get that we're old, and I get that this is the new thing, right? This is how music is being done these days. We must just deal with it. But this guy is making a noise. That's all he's doing.
You know, like when there's a house party next door where you live, right? And there's always that one guy, you can just see he's drunk, and he's just shouting at people incoherently. They've taken that guy, they put him in the studio. Okay, so this is Young Nigga featuring Young Thug and other sorts.
Young Thug, he's already got a hit, doesn't he?
Sure.
He's our favorite guy.
I'm sure he's got lots of hits, but
things that you've got to earn it song. Riri.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But the point is that I think nowadays people aren't even called one-hit wonders anymore. It's just, oh, that song was cool. And then it's like, well, there's someone else. But back in the 80s when everyone was like, oh, look at this, there's a superstar, and then they couldn't carry on, like Hathaway and all kinds of other things. Where was I going with this? I was talking, so I found all these great one-hit wonders, right? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't ever bring myself to playing you their other music. It's just so bad. Like, it's just so bad. You can just see that, like, cool, we've signed this guy for, like, a 3-album, like, deal, and he's really a business. I mean, you remember his real song? It's like, everyone's like, yeah, that song is amazing.
Yes.
And they go, we should hear what else he's got. And then they sit there, and they go, oh, no, he's got nothing. He's got nothing.
We just dumped so much money down the toilet.
We've got all the studio with this guy, he's got nothing else. And then they're like, no, really, this one's cool. It's just like my other one. Yeah, see, that's the point. Basically, you've taken everything about that song, you've just thrown it about in other melodies.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the one-hit wonder story. More of Rockwell coming up. But, Mubs, what else is happening in the world right now as we get into the weekend?
So more and more details are becoming available as the investigation into the airport heist continues. So yesterday, remember I told you that the security at the airport were replaced yesterday because, you know, people are now trying to find out. So if it is an inside job, who exactly was the person who gave out the leak? Mm. And then yesterday, the media reported that the police escort, which was meant to accompany the security company vehicle transporting the high-value cargo container, did not arrive on time. The acting National Police Commissioner, Lieutenant General Khumutso Phahlane, would not confirm the report when questioned following a press briefing on the robbery yesterday, but he did say that it was one of many facets that police were investigating. In his own words, Phahlane said, as to whether the police were where they were supposed to be, well, those are the kind of things we are referring to when we talk about security breaches. To go into detail about who was where and who was supposed to talk to who would only be revealed by a comprehensive investigation. So not only has the possibility been created that, you know, an inside job from the airport's point of view, but now people are also looking into the police themselves to say, were one of you also involved in this heist?
Oh, damn.
The plot, she thickens. But I mean, this is exactly what happens, is to pull off something this big, something this major. You do need quite a few elements to make it all come together. So there very well could have been an inside man at the airport. There very well could have been an inside man within the police themselves. You know, this is, you know, to make it all work, to make it all come together and to pull it off successfully, everybody has their role to play. So now, you know, questions are being raised around whether or not someone within the police force was also involved in the heist. Interesting, interesting.
Yeah, well, I like it. It's like we said right from the beginning, you know, the inside job. Now we hear the elements that make up this inside job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sia, you mentioned the other day that George Michael still hasn't been buried, right?
Yeah.
True. And his family are, in fact, keen to keep details about his funeral under wraps. They don't want fans turning up to the ceremony while they're trying to grieve for their family member. Actually, we probably won't even know when the funeral is until after the fact, you know, when it's being reported that he was laid to rest on such and such a day, because the family are really trying to not make it all our business.
And when we say the family, who do we mean? You know, because his mother's passed away, I think. And I just feel like these are people who probably didn't even matter much to George during his life. And now they have power. And there's probably a fishy, feisty, greasy, oily uncle who's now going on an ego.
Yeah, that is no way to talk about Greek people.
Well, you see, this
I mean, come on.
That is the picture I was making in my head, because I'm like, he's probably just spitting right now and he's hairy.
But this is the thing, is, you know, soon after his death on Christmas Day, there were some family members that flew in from Greece.
You see?
So these aren't people that, you know, were living and seeing George every day of their lives.
Probably never.
Yeah, they were thinking, let's try to find some money.
Yeah, exactly. That and I mean, how often does this happen in these kinds of situations where, you know, a family member who was making tons of money dies, all of a sudden all the other family members come out of the woodwork and they just start just thinking that they have rights to certain things.
Classic human, just greed, screw it.
Just greed, you know, they said horrible things about that poor Fadi Fawaz, who was actually living with George Michael on a day-to-day basis.
You probably find that these distant relatives are like, ugh, that George, the homo.
They told him that he can't come to the funeral. And now they're saying that, you know, well, he will be laid to rest later this month, but because they're worried about fans, they're not going to say where, they're not going to say when. Look, it's completely their right.
Absolutely. But, you know, you can curb all of this by doing a public memorial and then you have a private funeral. But no, they just want to, you know, just get all of this George business out of the way so that they can finally just get the money and they can go on living their lives all fabulously with all this new money. It's ridiculous.
But I'd love to know what the estate of George Michael actually is. I haven't heard too much about that. Because you know when you die, essentially, when us poor people die, we don't really hear about it because we don't have estates.
Yeah.
But George probably had actual country estates and he had lots of money. We spoke about how philanthropic he was at the time of his death. You know, all these other stories came out how he would anonymously donate money to charity causes. He would do work in hospitals and all that kind of stuff. The dude made lots of money. I mean, he made lots of great songs.
You see, I don't mean to seem like I'm being petty here, but that's why I honestly believe when you die, everything you own, or owned rather, should be sold off and the money go to charity. I'm not even trying to be like, oh, such
hang on a
good
second,
person.
Mother Teresa.
But, no, it's like, then people get involved, then people are trying to pretend, take everything out of it, sell everything I own. Well, that's if, for example, I know if I have a spouse or if I have kids, maybe that's understandable. An immediate nuclear family. And then that's it. Like, now my greasy uncle is going to come into the picture, and I've never known him, and he now is going to dictate things.
Do you have a greasy uncle in real life? Because it's really hitting home here.
That is why wills are critical. Because if you want specific things to happen to your estate and your money after you die, you know, that gets stipulated in the will. And then once that's said and done, then no greasy uncle can do anything about it.
I'm not going to be surprised if you find out George didn't have a will. Like, Prince, of all people, did not have a will either. That's how now there's all these stepsisters coming into the picture as well, claiming that they know what Prince wanted. No, you didn't. Oh, well. That's just how it all works out. Well, in keeping with death, but not really on a somber note, this is quite a big deal coming from South Africa, particularly UCT. So the University of Cape Town researchers have discovered a gene that causes sudden death in young people and athletes. This is like a big deal. So this discovery is the biggest breakthrough in South Africa cardiology since, you know, Dr. Christian Barnard's first heart transplant. Now this gene, it's called the CDH2, causes a genetic disorder that leads to cardiac arrest. Now researchers say they'll use this discovery to help diagnose and treat heart muscle disease in the future. And the Dean of Health Sciences at UCT, Bongani Moyisi, said it involves teams across three continents to really arrive at this, and each team contributing something to try to solve this puzzle. The discovery of a gene is almost like looking at a needle for a needle in a haystack, because you can imagine you have 3 billion changes in our genome, and there's one spelling error that you are looking for in 3 billion letters. So it requires major detective work to find this. So with that said, kudos to the UCT researchers. This is huge.
Well, I'm glad something's happening there finally.
This is huge. Yeah, apart from the protesting and the police action and.
I can't believe that there are humans walking around with a gene that will just drop kick their ass to the ground with no warning.
Well, we've all been, you know, a lot of us have been carrying this, and some of us are probably carrying it now. And I think it's just powerful, the mere fact that we can now point this out. Imagine, though. I'm totally wanting to sign up. Like, if you guys want a little
but what's
doll
that, what's
to
that
find
part
it.
With that, what's that part they said about athletes? I mean, what's that all about?
So this gene is predominantly found in young people and in athletes.
Okay, see, I'm neither one of those.
You are young.
No, you're still young.
You're like, whoo,
I'm
made it.
Not an athlete.
In the clear.
And I am getting on with my years. I can breathe a sigh of relief.
Wow. So this could honestly just, in 3 seconds, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
Cardiac arrest and you're dead. Shucks.
I mean, it's great when they make these kinds of discoveries. But I mean, then it just, you know, then you're just living in fear then, aren't you? I mean, let's say you find out that you carry this gene.
Mm.
How do you think it would affect you? Because you'd be thinking, oh, so at any time, I could just drop dead.
But I mean, this happens quite a lot, and it's a good thing that it's being formalized, because you hear of very healthy young people and still just drop dead.
Mm. Mm.
Which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Just a couple of messages here. We're being educated.
Okay.
Anonymous says, guys, you are showing your ignorance that Rockwell's song does not... See, the thing is, if you're going to educate us, sentence structure is also key. Okay. I can see what you're trying to say here. Right. You're showing ignorance here. That Rockwell song, it wasn't copying Michael Jackson. Rockwell was actually a producer for Michael Jackson, and Michael did him a favor. The song also features Jermaine Jackson.
Oh, really?
So it was like a real Jackson affair. It wasn't just someone trying to copy an idol. There was actual involvement from the Jacksons.
Oh, so it's almost as if Michael Jackson condoned and kind of said, gave his blessing to say,
yeah, exactly. There was
go ahead and sound like me.
Rockwell, you got talent. You want to make the song, let's try and make it sound good. And even further to that, Dudley says Rockwell also did a song called Peeping Tom. Exactly. So this is the whole thing. We think people have this misconception about one-hit wonders. This is what we're going to throw out to the audience now. So we're going to play Peeping Tom in a bit and see maybe if he had more than one song.
I feel like we're setting ourselves up for failure here, but that's okay.
Yeah, but this is how we grow together. The show is always about the audience and us together. It's one big collective. And then Mbali on Twitter says, I think it's not fair to be so critical to George Michael's family since you don't even know the facts. Yeah, see ya.
Well, I still
think that there's always a greasy uncle. Let's don't have to look for the family tree. Okay, but fine. Yes, let's give them a chance. But the mother is gone. I haven't really heard much of siblings. But you know what? I shall now do my proper research before I make judgment.
No, it's fine. Make judgments. We have no time for research.
I'm still making judgments.
I mean, come on. Everyone else does it. Why must we be so bloody critical?
We all make judgments about people on a daily basis.
No, but I think it's the initial thing that they've absolutely just taken his partner for so many years out of the picture. Based on what? Like banning him from the funeral. That is what, for me, has... Yeah.
Well, see, if they're capable of doing that, what else are they capable of doing?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Preaching to the choir.
But look, this is the whole thing about discussions, right? If you want to chime in here, go ahead. We're not going to be this down-the-middle authority around here. We're going to view our opinions and stuff along with the real news.
All right. Can we talk a little bit about something that might not necessarily be up your alley, but that could provide, you know, new information in the form of educating ourselves?
Yeah, sure.
Pigeon racing. Is anybody into pigeon racing?
Oh, you know how big pigeon racing is?
I had no idea how
big. The money in pigeon racing, Mavs, is huge.
I don't even understand why or how there is that much money in pigeon racing.
Well, it's gambling. First of all, it's not a gambling you can really cheat on because you can't just pay a pigeon to go but laying with 100 meters to go. No, but I'm pretty sure, and I stand to be corrected here, right here in South Africa, there's a $1 million race to Sun City or something with these pigeons.
Okay.
And so, these pigeons are really worth quite a lot of money.
It's just, I found this astounding because this is a world that I've never delved into and I knew absolute zero about it. So we have... pigeon racing clubs in South Africa, Sia. Yes, we do. And now we've also got the first black pigeon racing club in South Africa.
Black pigeons?
Black
or
pigeons?
Black people.
No, first black pigeon racing club. So the first black-owned club.
Black people racing pigeons.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
We got to clarify in these political correct times.
Okay. South African pigeon fanciers Mark Kitchenbrand and Samuel Mbiza are the proud owners of Golden Prince. Golden Prince is a star and a pigeon that was sold on auction by a world-famous auction house in Belgium. I'm going to get to the numbers just now because these numbers are just insane. I could not believe it. In total, 405 pigeons were auctioned off. And the auction attracted bidders from as far as Poland, Canada, Malaysia, Germany, Morocco, France, and India. It's a big thing. Now, according to Kitchenbrand, he said the purchase of Golden Prince, the star pigeon.
Sorry, I missed that. What's his name?
Kitchenbrand. Kitchenbrand.
Is that his name?
No, that's his surname.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Kitchenbrand. Kitchenbrand. Yeah. I get it better.
Sorry, his initial is A. It's A Kitchenbrand.
His name is Mark, so it's M. Kitchenbrand.
Okay.
So Kitchen Brand said the purchase of Golden Prince will not only have a huge impact on South African pigeon fanciers, but South Africans in general. Mbiza, you know, said that this is going to give him an opportunity to introduce pigeon racing to the black communities and specifically to the underprivileged communities. So in total, with the 405 pigeons that were auctioned off, the combined price that they went for was 30 million rand.
Yeah.
Golden Prince, who is described as the Usain Bolt of pigeons.
Whoa.
All right. He is called the Usain Bolt of pigeons. Do you want to guess how much he was sold off for?
Oh, no. When he wins the race, does he take his wings and lick a lantern?
Oh, no.
And does the Usain Bolt start?
Or does he dab into his left wing?
Oh, no.
And dabs. That's great.
I reckon he was sold for 1 million rand.
No.
No, okay. Not that high.
No, not that low.
Not that low?
Not that low. And yes, this is a bird that we're talking about, people.
Wait, like pigeons? Who coo at you, who poop on the pavement.
No, but this is the Usain Bolt. Did you, did you not
pigeons.
Just hear me?
Okay.
This is no ordinary pigeon.
2.7.
No.
Higher.
Higher.
No, wait.
Guys,
more than 2.7.
No. More than 2.7.
In South Africa.
Yes, in South Africa.
What is the lifespan of a pigeon, even if it's a Usain Bolt pigeon?
Jeepers, I mean, that's something that we have to look up now because...
Okay, well, we'll tell us because okay. We wouldn't know where to guess from here.
4 million.
No.
No
ways.
5 million rand that this pigeon was auctioned off for. Yes, 5 million.
Million rand for that pigeon.
Yes.
Wow.
I refuse to believe this.
And this is when you get scared of owls. Okay, you're saying, come, let's go for a little practice flight. Whoa, shit, there's an owl. imagine your 5 million rand pigeon gets attacked midair by something really hungry.
So this Usain Bolt of pigeons, he is going to help start this first black racing pigeon club in South Africa. So these guys, Samuel Mbiza and Mark Kitchenbrand, they are the owners of this Usain Bolt pigeon. Five million rand worth. That is insane. I remember as a child, our neighbor's son back in Kwakwa, he kept pigeons. He didn't race them or anything, but he kept them. I never knew why. And my mom would always complain about, oh, those damn birds. But he had like, gosh, he must have had maybe like 8 at one point.
Ooh.
And he just kept them there. And, you know, during the day, he'd let them out. They'd go away and do their thing, but they would always come back. Well, they always came back.
Okay.
Is the thing. So he trained them. He was doing all sorts of things with them, but he wasn't racing them or anything.
Mm.
But yeah, pigeons are apparently a big deal, a very big deal if they're worth 5 million.
And so we find out that they stay alive for 6 years, right? So okay, if they are tame and if they get it well. Can you insure a pigeon? No, like...
You can insure anything.
Yeah, does pigeon racing have, like, a board of someone to make sure that things are cool and right?
You know, I suppose they do. I would imagine that they probably need to.
And I would want to see this pigeon's cage and what its diet is. Like, just the good times. Guys, Jazz, this is the world we live in. Nothing ceases to amaze me.
They probably
anymore.
Eat
really nothing.
Like special genetically modified seeds or something ridiculous like that. I don't know.
Well, a little later in the show, we're going to have Thulani Hadeb, who's going to give us his top 5 on the celebrities who are hot and not, who's in the biggest scandals, who's the coolest, who we should be paying attention to. But currently, here's someone who is trying to possibly be on Thulani's hot list, because a 42-year-old Australian man has been charged with committing more than 900 child sex offences.
No, just burn him.
After he was accused of
pretending someone like that.
To be the pop star Justin Bieber.
He what?
Exactly.
I didn't think that story could get worse after you said 9,000, and it just did.
That's it. So there's this guy who's sitting at home being a perv.com, pretending to be Justin Bieber to the Justin, what are the fans called? The
Beliebers.
Beliebers, there we go.
Oh, and victims in this case.
True. Getting into conversations with them to solicit explicit online photographs from children. So the police say the victims include dozens of Mr. Bieber's fans in Australia, Britain, and the United States. Because, you know, this guy is based in Australia and was capitalizing on the fact that Justin is currently on tour, still on tour. I feel like he's forever on tour.
Well, that's how they make money, Sam.
Well, and he is now about to come into Australia, so he was trying to get into that. And I wonder how the conversation rolled around. Like, come on, do you really honestly believe that this is Justin Bieber texting you right now on Facebook? We don't know. The suspect has not been identified by name and was already facing charges in the Queensland
state. Why? Why not? Why are we? Why is he not identified by his name?
Because he stole the laws of protecting people's images.
He's been afforded special privileges after we have discovered that he is vile.
Listen to this. He was already facing charges in the Queensland state for possessing material, exploiting children, and of using the internet and social media to entrap children under the age 16. So he now faces a further 931 criminal charges. Is there even a use to take this guy on trial?
Yes.
Like, is there even?
Burn him. Like I said, he's got to be burned like a witch or something equally horrible.
This is just disgusting. You know, some of the offenses include rape, the indecent treatment of children, and making child exploitation material. Because some of his, like, and one of his youngest victims was 3 years old. Like, this is just nasty. Absolutely nasty. So, yeah, let's see how this trial continues on.
Well, speaking of people who are in prison or should be going to prison, OJ could be coming out pretty soon.
Okay.
Now, remember OJ, right? OJ Simpson, he was acquitted from killing his wife and lover.
If the glove don't fit,
you must acquit. And acquit was exactly what happened with OJ. But then, I mean, he was, some people might say this was karma. Some people say that OJ was just destined for jail.
Mm.
But he was then charged with kidnapping, armed robbery, and assault with a deadly weapon. He was stealing sports merchandise or some stupid,
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's the Juice, as he was commonly known. That was his nickname.
Oh.
Obviously because OJ.
Orange juice.
He's been seen not to really be a threat to society anymore, so he could come out as early as October.
All right.
It must get to this October. It must get to a stage where, when you have these parole meetings, right? I've always wondered about this. Like, if you're a bad guy, or as Donald Trump would say, if you're a bad dude, he says bad dudes. Yeah, you go into these parole hearings, and you know it must be so subjective because you could be a, like completely no threat whatsoever, and then a parole guy doesn't like the look of you, or you could be like putting on a great act, and you're like, you know, I've done this and that, and I've discovered Jesus and all this kind of other stuff, and then you go out and then straight away you murder someone.
Especially if you're somebody famous, because in that situation, the parole board, I mean, some of them are walking into that hearing either as your fans or as somebody that they dislike, you know, if you're famous.
Exactly, because then you get... So there must be so much pressure on these parole people.
Yeah.
And then being famous could, well, either help or hinder. I mean, what if OJ played for the team that this guy used to support and he dropped a ball at a certain stage and he lost money on a sports bet or something?
But shouldn't it not, though? Shouldn't everyone be equal in the eyes of the law?
But humans...
Exactly. Subjectivity comes into this. Yeah, this is what I find interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. And we just get a couple of messages. Liesl's loving the one-hit wonders. She has suggested Chesney Hawke's I Am the One and Only.
Oh, that is that?
No, I'm sorry. We can't. No, stop it. Stop it. Turning my current right off now. No, I'm sorry. We can't have Chesney Hawke's.
You know,
that is such a dreadful song.
You know, when I hear these titles and the artists, I don't immediately know what the song is. And then when you start playing the song, I'm like, oh, it's that one.
Yes.
So Chesney Hawke's, I don't know who that is.
Well, good. Therefore, you are richer as a human being.
But if we played the song, I would probably recognize
it. Okay, look. Just to describe Chesney Hawke's, right? Do you like Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
Okay. Chesney Hawke's
was cute.
Chesney Hawke's was like budget Bob, budget Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Because it was, again, it was a similar era, but it just sounded so. It's, I don't know.
Was he one of the Hanson trio?
Yes, you would think, right?
Oh, blonde hair, this wavy hair.
Do you remember back in the 90s, music videos were like a story as well? Unnecessary long intros, people talking.
I am the one and only.
Is this enough for you?
Yeah.
Have you heard enough?
I recognize it.
Just a little bit more. Yes.
Call me by my name. When you watch these music videos now, it's like humans were held captive for like 40 years. And the 90s music videos were like, oh my gosh, it's a girl. Oh my gosh, it's a guy. And then they start talking and it's like, oh my gosh, they are talking to each other.
The glory days, Ben. What do you mean?
It's like I can't believe I grew up on this. This really is.
You didn't really get to have much of a say.
And Chesney Hawke, is that a strap-on mole? He's got like a Cindy Crawford thing on his face.
Oh, I am the one and only.
Nobody I'd rather be. I am. That's actually one of the most embarrassing things of my life. I grew up in the 90s.
No, it's not embarrassing.
What is embarrassing
about it? The 90s were amazing.
You ever watch 90s music videos now? They are so cringe.
With a bomb diggity.
Absolutely cringe. I hope you enjoyed that, because that took years of my life.
There can't be more cringe than what they were doing in the 80s, Ben.
Yeah, but the 80s was bizarre. Anyway, we've got Tulani on the line.
Oh, okay.
Now, Sia's been very excited about this. Tulani, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Super fantastic. Happy Friday to you. Gareth is still away in America.
Okay, but, awesome.
But as always, we do look forward to your future. See you in particular.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. But I don't think there's anything wrong with the 90s. I love the 90s music. 90s music was fantastic.
You reckon? I just, like, obviously it doesn't date well, right? But we all love retro things from time to time, because nostalgia is just something that we all cling to.
Yes.
But, like, seriously, after this call, go and watch Chesney Hawke's The One and Only music video. Like,
okay,
and I'm gonna take any responsibility when you vomit, when you just see his shirt alone, because it looks like someone has vomited on his shirt.
I mean,
it's like the kind of thing that Hansi Krenier would have worn when he was jawling in Bloemfontein.
Oh, shame.
Wow.
Yeah, what? He jawled like anyone else. Why a shame?
Let's move on, yeah. Please. Let's move on and spill other tea in the top five.
Guys, hi. So at number five for Tool's top five, I have to say it's definitely Zuri Hall. Zuri Hall, you asked who might that be. She's the E! News presenter in America. I met her at the Verve Clicquot Polo. I was there in Cape Town this weekend. Very sweet girl. Very, very lovely. Check her out. She's going to be making major strides in the entertainment industry. Number four has to go to Ricky Rick. Allegedly, he tweeted that he had 3,000 Rand when his album Family Values dropped. And look at him now. He is dripping in Gucci. He's at every single fashion week in the world. Yeah. Paris. He's just been at Paris Fashion Week. So he is swagger jacking everybody.
That's awesome.
I'm at number three, right?
Yes, number three.
Number three is Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah takes the number three spot because his 15 million rand penthouse. No, $50 million. Excuse me, yeah. $50 million penthouse in New York.
Wasn't it 120 million rand? It was just one of the stories where it changes every week. Oh, no, it was more.
No, $50 million, 120 or 130 million rand.
Okay.
Correct, yes. So it's $50 million. This penthouse, I saw pictures. I'll post them on my Twitter a little bit later. They are, and it's unbelievable. Yeah, so, and he was jawling with Kaya Zlanga, Caesar Dlomo, and Anele. just recently, and they were living their best lives. So he takes number 3 spot for this month.
I'll stop you there. Yeah. But this is like a real coming of age. If you can be balling in property, that's actual balling. This isn't this music video shit with someone's leased Lambo. He owns property in New York.
But more than that, you can now read, you know, his own edition of the Time magazine with his face on the cover in his frickin'.
There's that too, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely and deserving.
And it's not, property in Parkhurst. It's literally property in Manhattan. You know, it's nothing to sneeze about. And at the number one spot is Yoza Nyanda.
Who's that?
Yes, she, on her birthday, she tweeted Black Coffee saying, how many retweets will this get so that I can work with you? So a couple of people retweeted, and then on her birthday, she said, Black Coffee replied and said, okay, let's work together. He even went so far to say, I'm in Cape Town this Friday. He'd included his producer in the tweet and said, please book a studio so I can work with this girl. Oh. They're literally working together. It's unbelievable. I mean, you retweet Black, you get a retweet from Black Coffee, all of a sudden you have a smash hit. I'm telling you now, this is going to be a huge hit. She's got a beautiful voice, and that's who is at the number one spot this month.
What awesome. A great story. Now, today we've got a bit of a contest on your Ricky Rick story. It says here, from a message, I think it's from D, saying, Ricky Rick went to Hilton College. Yeah, sure he was doing it.
Ooh, pulling out the
Ricky. I mean, I think in Hilton College it's like 3,000 rand a week to go there.
And that's just for, you know, food, not even accommodation and education. Thanks for that receipt, D. You can tech. But I know Ricky Rick, and he's a lovely person. And yes, you might have worked, your parents paid for that tuition, not Ricky Rick. So we must, you know, we also get poor sometimes. You know, if we went to private schooling, we also get poor. But yes, he still stays. Thank you very much.
Okay. Nice. Yay. Solid top 5.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tools. And we like number 1. It's nice and inspiring, and it's a young.
Yeah, it's a cool story, too. Yeah.
Very
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, very, awesome. Very good. Cool, tonight. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great weekend. And
you too.
We're going to check back up with you, I think, when Gareth gets back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Take care.
Thanks, man. All the best.
Bye.
Now, Sia, if you were to retweet someone and you would want to collaborate with them on something, whether it be MC an event, co-write a book, all these things, what would it be?
Even a question.
Well, it is, because I believe it should be a question.
No.
Who would it be?
The person in my mind already has real estate to make things happen for me. So I'm like, hey, Oprah, don't you need a new show on your own channel? Like, hey, do you want to make things happen? Do you want me to just like come over and we can all just chill together in your office? Just done now.
What do you think Oprah would do for your career, Sia? I'm not just talking about the fact that you'll be exposed.
Oprah would do more for not just my career, but my whole entire life. That's what we're talking about. But that's pretty basic and obvious for me. Would you still even bother tweeting Gary Player? Sorry, Mr. Gary Player?
No, I do from time to time for pure entertainment purposes, but nothing's really come of it.
Oh.
Yeah, because you got to make your own. You got to make your own way
he
in life.
He has responded to you before, right?
A few times.
Man,
so
my brother, if you had to tweet or, you know, someone who you look up to be like, hey, let's work together, do you want to hire me? Who would it be?
Ooh.
Apart from Common and his extracurricular.
No,
activity.
I don't want to work with Common. I want to work.
You want to work with him?
I want him to work me. Okay, so this is purely for professional purposes,
yes.
Ne? Give me a minute.
Yeah. Who would it?
You know what? I really like the idea of people who came from nothing and are now moguls.
Yeah.
So like a Jay-Z, for example. I would love to just be, you know, a part of his many businesses at this stage. And yeah, I would love to work under somebody like that just to see what I could absorb from them and learn.
Yeah, but like the same thing, like what if it happened to P. Diddy? Sean Combs.
He what, did, he's now still around. An official billionaire.
Because he took that, he went that whole thing, okay? Yeah. Self-made mogul, yes. He went more that way. Like, you're so right. You could learn so much from them because they've had to diversify their whole thing.
Mm.
Like, that show Empire came from something, right? So it came from guys like him.
Mm.
So I reckon no matter what your industry, like whether you're into finance, whether you're into merchandising, fashion, music itself, I reckon those guys would be absolutely amazing, and they know it too. Yes. Imagine what they consult, if they do consult, what fees they would charge.
I mean, because these are guys who didn't... you know, they didn't learn their stuff in school. It wasn't taught to them out of a textbook. So they had to find ways to just
from the streets
to make money and then to grow that money.
Well, not only that, Mubs, they were also pioneering industry, right?
Yeah.
They didn't say, okay, well, who are the big hip hop moguls that I can learn from? It's like, okay, well, I reckon hip hop could be a thing.
Man.
So not only they had a pioneering industry, they also had to learn where people maybe got shot. Mm-hmm. This isn't me stereotyping here, but. Those guys, to get to where they are, they had to stand on a lot of people, right?
Mm.
For good or for bad, you had to. That was the way of... I mean, the whole thing is they were selling street culture. They were the first people to repackage it and commercialize it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago, I was reading an article on how Jay-Z has now ventured into, like, venture capital.
Mm.
That's, like, his new interest. So the man is definitely diverse.
Ooh, but a little bit back further than that is that he was kind of in hot water because he started the streaming service Tidal. Mm. But Tidal was in agreement to use Prince's last album, you know, to stream that on Tidal. But instead of just taking the album, they've taken the entire catalog. And there's no actual contract signed up. This is the guy, Prince, who did not have a will. So now, like, trying to find a contract somewhere. So the Prince estate is currently taking Jay-Z to court. But, eh.
No, well, they should. They should.
I hope at this case you find out that, like, Jay-Z literally is just, like, the face of Tidal. Otherwise, yo, excuse, brother. excuse with your money just going. Very, very far and wide with that. But okay, do we want to stick to music news?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Mm. And do we want to stick to a Where Are They Now theme?
Yes.
Guys.
Yes.
I've been waiting and holding on to this forever and ever. You know, I think we absolutely love these people who we've looked up to. We've had a bit of a one-hit wonder theme the entire week. But more than that, I actually want to focus on some of the people we know and love, you know.
So you're talking about the people who were once a big deal, but we haven't heard from them in years. And, you know, sometimes you wonder... Oh, whatever happened to that group or whatever happened to that guy?
Yes, you're definitely feeling my vibe. So do you want to look into the distance and say, whatever happened to these people?
Well, you can learn so much from this as well about like career longevity and how you can appreciate people who do really well.
Mm.
Okay, I want to cue this nice and in a corny way. Are we ready?
Mm. Yep, look at the
distance with me. Whatever happened to... TLC. Don't ask me why I just put this music, but doesn't this just...
This isn't TLC, back? Is it?
This isn't TLC.
Yeah. I'm so lost here. Like, what the hell is this?
This is just a, you know...
Mood setter.
Back. Yeah, taking it back here. Yeah. So,
so we know what happened to Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Yeah,
the car accident.
TLC. Yes. So first and foremost, I love the fact that we're going 90s and they were so corny in everything. Like TLC, there was, you know, L was for Lisa Left Eyes. Then there was C for Chili. And then there was T for Kimang. T-Bos. That's the one. It's like, who's the other one? She's a Michelle in my equation. But all right. Okay.
She was the Beyonce. She was the lead.
Okay, I don't really like her. But anyway, let's move past that. So TLC was big in the heyday. A couple of years back, Lisa passed away and the band disbanded. But then it was 2 years ago when the remaining T and the C you know, called out to their fans and say, we love you guys so much. We miss you. We want to come back.
We're also broke. We're also broke.
Words they were, yeah. Quite obviously.
Yeah.
But already we know that, like, the heydays of the 90s and trying to come back from it doesn't exactly work. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's good that it was, but don't try to come back. But nonetheless, they tried it. And so they said, listen, we want to come back and hit the studio, but we cannot because we do not have the money. So, our dearest fans, if you absolutely want to hear from us, how about you give us money to actually record our album?
Okay, so like a GoFundMe situation.
So they started a Kickstarter campaign 2 years ago, and fans roped in, started donating money. They donated $430,000.
Mm.
And 2 years later, there is no album.
So that's is that a fraud? Is that just theft?
I mean, it's a little bit suspicious, isn't it?
Oh, so that's where TLC is, guys. They've taken money from their fans.
And let me guess, they can't be reached for comment.
Nothing. They keep on, the only statements that they make are like very cryptic posts. Like the manager said, you know, a while ago, March, said the album's done and it's being mixed right now. It's politics, you know. What do you mean by politics? If I gave you my money, tell me what it is, you know.
No, but they're saying it's politics, therefore they've stolen it. That's true politics. Take the money from the people.
Oh, damn.
Oh,
look,
man.
They could have been a falling out, you know, between the two of them and producers, or I don't know.
Shame.
But these things happen in music, in the music industry, hey?
But also, it's so tough. Like, you've created music once, right?
You've created
music once. Doesn't mean you're going to create music again. Like, yeah. We're talking about one-hit wonders this whole week. So they believe, hey, guys, let's get back together. Oh, what a great idea. No one at any stage has got, okay, cool, what songs have you got? They were all just sitting around a booth in the diner going, yeah, it'd be so great. We're so broke. We can make money. But at no stage do they go, okay, cool, so I've got these four songs. What do you got? They didn't have anything because they can't create anything.
Oh, it's unfortunate because, you know, there have been groups in the past that have been able to come back. So, for example, you look at a group like New Edition, right? New Edition were big also like in the 80s, 90s. And then Bobby Brown went solo and then three other guys broke away from the group, formed their own group. Individually, they all attained success.
Yeah.
And then they came back together later on, and they was like they did it successfully. So it's possible. It's just unfortunate with these two that whatever politics is happening there is getting in the way.
And I don't think they can compete. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just being realistic. I really don't think they can compete in a Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Get Naked, Shake Your Booty
music industry. It's a different game.
You know?
It's a different game.
If they, for example, said we're going to do 5 tribute concerts, you know, across America, I think that's, go sing your good old classics, call it a day.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, do
back
it.
Back at home.
I mean, if, do you know that All For One are coming to South Africa?
You know?
And you think to yourself, but why?
Yes. we
but there will be
the
people
heyday.
Who will pay money to go and see them.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from I Swear, I really don't know what other songs All For One did. I swear by the moon. I honestly do not know what other songs they did. So what are they going to come here and sing?
Just
covers.
In the heyday.
They'll be doing Stevie Wonder.
Well,
they'll be
go.
Doing TLC songs.
There you go. So TLC must just do that whole thing. They'll be fine. Like, their faithful, loyal fans will still support them.
Well, there we go. Now the great image of TLC has been tainted by them stealing money from their fans. And that's the first edition of Where Are They Now? Or what is that happening?
You should really actually be either a manager, an agent, someone's publicist or something.
Thank
like
you.
Your ideas are solid.
Thank you, Ben.
Like really, really solid. And also maybe that it results in less crime. Because that is theft.
I can't believe it.
But at the same time, I'd love to see the terms and conditions of this whole funding thing. Because if there was a clause saying we're in no way liable to actually produce music thrown in the fine print, then maybe the joke's from the fans.
Shucks. Anyway. All right. Whatever happened to done and dusted, and now we can cut the music too.
Right. Just a couple of messages before we get into another song. I told you we're going to play more of Rockwell. determined to make this guy the legend that he is, especially as we were schooled about who he actually was and what he actually did.
Okay.
I love it. I learn more while being on this show than anything else. So just a couple of messages here. Jonty's talking about sex talk.
Oof. Well, it is a Friday.
That's coming up.
Eargasms and expectations, sexual pressure and sexual freedom.
Yeah,
Jonty's always got a bag of tricks. Bag of tricks. Right. I used to have a pet supply website and had pigeon racers contact me often, willing to pay anything for me to import the products, says Lena. Yeah, look, it's also like exotic pets. People pay so much for like killer iguanas and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
People do have different interests in life, which is also a great thing. Michelle says, Sia, did you not hang in the studio last week when Timothy Maurice had a guy on his show that works for Oprah's school? He was your direct...
Excuse me. Hold up, guys.
He's a direct line to her.
Wait, last week? I was in Design and Daba.
Oh, yeah. Michelle, now you've just made him so sad.
Sia, download... Okay, Sia, calm down. Download the podcast, get the guy's name, stalk him on the internet, which is something that you are brilliant at.
Download the podcast. I need to call Timothy Maurice.
Exactly.
Now. Like, why
get on the line,
brother Hagen?
Get on the line with Tim, because he'll sort anything out. He's probably the most connected guy here on Cliff Central. And then before you know it, you're doing tea with Oprah.
God.
But you wouldn't have the stomach for that, would you? You would chicken out. You'd be so overcome with emotion.
I would go to tea with a diaper on, just to.
Okay, on that lovely thought, here's Rockwell's other song, which I've been assured was also a hit. It's called Peeping Tom. His dad produced for Michael Jackson.
Oh, my goodness.
Hear the sub. His music videos had big hair. And people laughing for no reason.
CliffCentral.com.